The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a really good show for you today. This half hour will feature an interview with Mark McGlivey, who is a representative of Nechama. Nechama is in town helping flood victims here in the suburban Detroit area. A Jewish organization started a bunch of years in Minneapolis and Minnesota, and we'll be talking about what they're doing here and how they're doing and how you can help, or if you do need help, all that. We have a wonderful assortment of music coming up, all kinds of Jewish stuff, only place where you can hear Jewish music on the radio. The portion of the week is the portion of Shoftim, can be found in the book of Deuteronomy. We have a pretty amazing Hasidic story at the end. You want to stick around for that. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. The Obama administration blocked a scheduled shipment of missiles to Israel and will scrutinize future weapon shipments to Israel. A White House spokesman said the president is concerned about Palestinian protests in the U.S. The shipment has since been released. In a speech to the Knesset, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu announced that Operation Protective Edge is not over and that Hamas leaders are legitimate targets. Israeli Air Force strikes in Gaza killed at least three senior Hamas leaders, and 10,000 reservists were called up to active duty. Hundreds of passengers arrived this morning to begin Ben-Gurion International Airport in Tel Aviv as Hamas threats to fire rockets at the airport did not happen. More than 275 rockets have been fired from Gaza since peace talks broke down last Wednesday. Tourism is Israel's second largest industry, and Israel's hotels have been pretty much empty this summer. Qatar, the one major benefactor to the Hamas organization, will donate $1,000 to each family whose homes in Gaza were destroyed in Operation Protective Edge. Thank you very much. A Muslim mob in Uppsala, Sweden, severely beat a Jewish mother of four for wearing a Jewish star. The mother suffered a broken jaw and severe bruises. In response, Norwegian activists staged a yarmulke march. That's the thing that Jews wear on the top of their heads, through a predominantly Muslim neighborhood in Copenhagen, which saw Jews and non-Jews wearing Jewish symbols to take a stand against anti-Semitism. The EU, the European Union, will no longer accept poultry or dairy labeled product of the settlements. Those areas include East Jerusalem, the Golan, and Judea and Samaria. The move will most likely hurt Palestinians employed by these concerns. The move has been in the making for more than a year. Israel's Ministry of Education announced the school year will begin as scheduled next week, despite security concerns. So if you have somebody learning in Israel next year, they're on schedule. And finally, a Zimline's cargo boat faked out protesters in Oakland, California. The boat had been docked in Oakland for 4 days as protesters blocked longshoremen from unloading the ship. The boat left port, presumably to go to Long Beach, but doubled back to another Oakland terminal. Longshoremen unloaded the boat overnight. The protesters were part of a group called Block the Boat, who have not been successful in Southern California, Washington, or British Columbia in blocking Israeli cargo ships from unloading on the West Coast. Detroit Chesed is an organization aimed at helping those people who have been affected by the flood damage. Ask your rabbi as to how Detroit Chesed is able to help you, or go to DetroitChesed.org. And Nechama needs volunteers. We're going to talk about this in the next part of the show. For assistance, call 248-592-2313. Or if you need help, call 248-592-2313. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, and visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herr Schulferman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We're online with Representative Nechama, an organization helping people to flood the recovery here in the Detroit area from 2 weeks ago's flood. Mark McGilvery, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for your time. We certainly appreciate it on our end.
Okay. Tell us about Nechama. I mean, the word Nechama is Hebrew for comfort or saving. So let's hear about this organization, Nechama.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, Nechama Jewish Response to Disaster is a 501c3 nonprofit based out of Minneapolis, and we're founded on the principle of Tikkun Olam. So, you know, repairing the world around us without asking for anything in return. And the scope of our work is coming in after natural disasters. Obviously, here in Detroit, we had the flooding to provide immediate assistance to homeowners in need. And the specific types of services we provide completely free of charge. The muck out, the gutting, debris removal, essentially getting all the compromised possessions and building materials out of these flooded spaces so that they can be properly cleaned and then ready for the rebuild. So again, you know, we're taking out anything from wet carpets to drywall to possessions, anything that's in these spaces that's, you know, been directly exposed to the flood water. We're getting out and leaving homeowners with kind of a clean canvas, a blank canvas to come in and do the rebuild.
Mm-hmm. How did Nechama get started, Mark?
Yeah, so we're about 20 years old, and it started with one man who had an idea, and it was to help those in need. So a gentleman named Steve Lear put some tools in the back of his personal vehicle after some flooding in the Midwest and just hit the road to try and see if he could help. So it started out with one guy and with one shovel and some hand tools, turned it into an organization that now provides relief assistance nationwide on a much larger scale.
Mm-hmm. Is it meant to be like a Jewish organization just for Jews?
No, so that's a great question. So, you know, we are founded on Jewish principles, but we very much both on the side of homeowners that need help. We try and identify anyone that needs us, regardless of faith. You know, if they need the help, we're going to help them. And we really try and target, you know, the elderly, the disabled, economically challenged folks, you know, that can't just write a check to make their problems go away. That's kind of the meat and potatoes of who we're trying to find. And again, it does not matter if they're Jewish or not. Certainly, we're just trying to help anyone that needs us. And on the volunteer side of things, so the way that we leverage our resources and assets to help as many people as we can is we combine our expertise and our management and our tools and our know-how with the local influx of volunteers that want to come out and help. And they may not know how, and they may not have what they need to do it, but we team up with them and bring them into the field with us to help us get this job done quicker. And our volunteers are all walks of life. They could be 15. We've got a gentleman right now working with us that's 70, and anywhere in between, Christian, Catholic, Jewish, agnostic, Muslim, anything. If they want to help, we're gonna put them on our team and give them the tutelage and the guidance and the materials they need to help those in need.
Mm-hmm. So all these people that are working with Nechama, they're all volunteers?
So it's a combination of a core staff that Nechama has, and then we very much leverage it with the local community. So we're reaching out to synagogues and JCCs and the local federation and colleges and universities and the AmeriCorps program. You know, we're really trying to spread the word out there to let everyone know that if they want to volunteer, we are an outlet for them. But the kind of the magic behind our formula is leveraging our core staff's capabilities with anyone locally or nationally that wants to come volunteer with us. You know, right now, my team is comprised of volunteers from all over the country, Texas, California. I'm from Boston, kind of all over the map. So we can accommodate both local and, in some capacity, non-local volunteers that want to come out and help.
Uh-huh. Would you call Nechamed then sort of like Habitat for Humanity and 911 combined?
I would say that that's a flattering compliment. Maybe we do operate very similar to the Habitat for Humanity model. So obviously a lot of people are familiar with that, and that is a great way to put it. So if people want to come volunteer, and we're working on all these affected homes, if the volunteers get to us, we provide everything else that they need. So the tutelage and the equipment and the management and the know-how and the homes that need the assistance, and we're really capable of providing specific tasks to volunteers of any skill level. So you don't have to be a master technician. You don't have to be, a carpenter. There's something that we can find on almost all our job sites that people of any skill level with this type of work have coming in. So the majority of our volunteers really have no experience with this type of work because, they haven't experienced it before. But we operate, like you said, very similar to Habitat for Humanity and make it really pretty easy for our volunteers once they get to us to put them to work.
You kind of took my next question from you. As I'm thinking about, you said people look volunteers for like AmeriCorps. So let's say I'm normally a person who's familiar with volunteering and like to volunteer, but my volunteering takes up, say, tutoring third graders in Detroit. And me personally, you wouldn't want to stand next to me if I have a hammer in my hand. I mean, that could be a very, very dangerous thing. So how is it that you're putting people to work then, Mark McGilvery?
So, I mean, there's plenty of different things that we do as far as, you know, getting people to work when they're on sites with us. So, you know, there is some more technical work to do, but, you know, a volunteer, perhaps like yourself or someone that doesn't have too much experience, may spend their day helping a homeowner identify items that they want to keep, whether it's a wedding album or a scrapbook or, you know, an old picture of their family or a family relic that they're looking to hold on to. So there isn't much physical labor involved there. It's much more of the compassion and the humanitarian side of our approach. So volunteers could certainly do that. I've been on past deployments where volunteers have sifted through dirt and actually found a wedding ring. So that's not very labor intensive, but it's just as important to do those types of things. And then a lot of what we're doing is physically man and woman power to get possessions out of homes. So that could mean, you know, just getting down into the basement and taking what you're comfortable taking. That could just be compromised T-shirts or stuffed animals or anything like that that isn't necessarily heavy by any means, but, you know, more hands make for a lighter load, and that's a lot of what we're doing too, is just the more bodies we can get into a home, the faster that we can put these flood survivors in a position to rebuild. You know, if we have two people working on a house, it might take us a week, but if we've got, you know, 15 or 20 volunteers working on that same house, we could probably complete it in a day.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. If you're just tuning in, our guest today is a representative from Nechama, which is an organization that helps natural disaster relief. Our guest today is Mark McGilvery. Could you say your last name for me, please?
Mark. Sure, it's Mark McGilvery.
McGilvery, okay, thank you.
Correct.
So the stuff that's been in people's basements, if it's still in their basement, the flood was over a week ago. So you're probably encountering at this time stuff that's pretty rank. How are we dealing with, I mean, mold can be very serious stuff.
Yeah, so luckily here in Detroit, for most of the homes, the water receded on its own, and that's not always the case. Sometimes we're going into homes where there's several feet of water still there. But the water itself in the majority of the homes that we have found, I can't speak for everyone citywide, but that we have found, the water has since receded. And sure, these basements don't smell great, and they don't look great. And, you know, a lot of times there's, you know, bedrooms and people that have been living down there. So, you know, the longer you do wait, the grimmer, you know, it looks and smells and the whole deal. But that's part of the importance, to act as quickly as we can to get the stuff out of there. Nahama, on our sites, we provide our teams with all the personal protection equipment they need when encountered with spaces like this. So we're giving them gloves and masks and safety glasses and things of that nature so that they are prepared to enter these spaces. I mean, the nature of disaster response is dirty work. It just comes with the territory. But we do take precaution on our side of things to provide both our staff and our volunteers with safety measures for them to enter these spaces. And it's a no pressure situation for us in terms of comfort level with volunteers. You know, if anyone comes and they're not comfortable with what the situation is, we can certainly find something else for them to do. You know, we're not holding these people and making them get down there if it's not something that they want to do. But we do try and acknowledge that it is dirty work, and it may not be for everyone, but certainly our volunteer teams are comprised of people of all, you know, makeups and ages for sure.
Mm-hmm. There's several thousand basements that were flooded due to this, what's referred to now as the 500-year storm of August 2014 here in Detroit. What's Nahama's goal in with these several thousand basements?
What is our goal? I mean, our goal is to provide as many people relief as possible. And we are partnering with other nonprofit organizations, both locally and nationally, and sharing information as best as possible to accomplish that goal. You know, like you're telling me, thousands of homes have been affected, and certainly with Nahama, we wish we could have helped them all yesterday, or we actually wish that this never happened in the first place. But our goal is pretty much to work around the clock to put as many of the citizens of the greater Detroit area in a better position than they're currently in now. So it's just dividing and conquering and bringing relief to as many people as quickly as we can. And those efforts are significantly bolstered if there's increased volunteer flow for us to work with. And I'd love to share some information at some point over this interview.
Oh, we're definitely going to do that. That's for sure. So could you describe then, Mark, your triage process? There's lots and lots of people that need your help. You don't have the resources to help everybody. How do you decide who gets help next?
Sure. So it isn't an exact science, but you're right. It does internally for us work like a triage system. So we do our absolute best to identify those that have nowhere else to go, either financially or otherwise. So if we're able to find a homeowner, you know, that had, you know, four children living in the basement and there's a primary living space, which we're finding a lot of that here in Detroit, we are going to identify that as a much more pressing need than somebody that uses, you know, an empty, unfinished basement for some storage of their old, you know, sports equipment. And there's a sliding scale of different cases in between. But, you know, ideally we're trying to find and get the people as quick as possible that don't have the financial resources to make their problems go away, that may be elderly, that may be disabled, that are economically challenged families that, you know, even before this flood, you know, had hurdles to get over in life. So we really do our absolute best to identify the most vulnerable portions of these communities and get to them first. And from there, we work our way out. And, you know, we'd love to help the person that had an inch of water in their unfinished basement. And we understand that that is a difficult situation for them. But we're trying to tackle the real bears of cases before we can get to those.
Okay, understood. That's great. So the majority of the manpower that Nahama uses is volunteer. What about the actual physical things needed? You're going to need claws and crowbars for taking out drywall. You're going to need pumps for emptying out standing water in basements, maybe dehumidifiers of industrial strength. Where are those resources coming from, Mark?
So Nahama is essentially, it'll be a plug for Home Depot. We're essentially a Home Depot on wheels. So we have physically driven and flown in resources to Detroit. Excuse me. That's exactly what you just mentioned. So we have trucks and trailers filled with hand tools and generators and pumps and safety equipment and buckets and the whole deal. So we come in armed with all the equipment that we need to do those types of things for our homeowners. So we are very self-sustaining in terms of tools and additional resources to do this work. So we provide all of those things and distribute and share those with other organizations as well that may not have them here in the affected community.
That's awesome. So is Home Depot donating all of these resources?
I would love if they did. If they're listening, certainly feel free to reach out to me at nahama.org. I'm Mark McGilvery. That they have not. We have just accumulated through, you know, accumulated resources through our own efforts, whether it's, you know, fundraising or other partnerships or donations or whatever the case may be. We've just continued to build up resources of that nature to then use in the field.
Okay, understood. Our guest has been, that's going to just wrap it up, has been Mark McGilvery. Could you tell us now, if somebody needs your assistance, they've got problems in their basement and they really need help, how do they get in touch with Nahama, Mark McGilvery?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. There's a few things that I would like to touch on. So if anyone is out there that needs assistance, that had water in their basement, that's dealing with the aftermath of this flood, we have a main intake number here in Detroit, and that's 313-444-0792. So that's our intake line for anyone that's experienced flood-related damage. That is what we would like them to call, 313-444-0792, again, for anyone that's taking on damage as a result of the recent floods. And the other part of it, too, is if anyone would like to come out and volunteer with Nahama, that's a huge component to getting people aid faster. I would ask them to visit our website, and that's nahama.org. And the spelling on that is NECHAMA.org, and there's an online portal for any interested volunteers to register with us. So I would ask that they go there as well. And if anyone out there is looking to donate, certainly we would love that as well. Your community is in pretty desperate need, and we don't charge any homeowners anything for our services. We rely completely on donations and private funding. So if anyone out there has, you know, $10 or $100 or anything to spare, it certainly would all help. And that's easily available to do on our website as well.
Okay. I noticed that the phone number that you gave, the 592 number for people to volunteer, I believe is a Jewish Family Service phone number. So could you tell us, how is Nahama coordinating with Jewish Family Service, other Jewish organizations, and maybe like the Red Cross, the United Way, et cetera?
Sure. So the Jewish community here locally has done quite a bit to help us get into the area. So, you know, when we come in response to these things, we need housing. We need to make relationships. We need to build our network in order to find these people faster. So we've been working hand in hand with Jewish Family Services, with the federations, with local political leaders. You know, I could spend the rest 10 years trying to make the networks and the relationships here that these great institutions already have. So we try and tie in and coordinate with them to provide ultimately aid to people that need it quicker. So the Federation has done a great job opening doors for us, and Jewish Family Services has been an incredible partner in this as well, to help us find and identify those folks too. Mm-hmm. So, and then on a national scale, as far as other folks contributing to our efforts, you know, we've personally sponsored an AmeriCorps team to come in and assist us with disaster response. And we collaborate and communicate with our other nonprofit disaster response organizations to make sure we're all armed with the best information we can get our hands on and people receive aid the quickest.
Okay. And how long do you think Nahama is going to be in the Detroit area, Mark McGilvery?
Yeah, we have at present committed to about another month of response work, pretty much around the clock, 24 hours a day in some capacity. We're putting forth effort to bring relief to people. But at the moment, it looks like about another month. But the overall window for us depends largely on how strong that volunteer flow is and how strong the local response is. If people keep coming out to volunteer in great numbers, you know, people are going to get relief quicker than otherwise. But right now we're forecasted about an additional month from today.
Okay, that's great. If you could just give those numbers again. If people need assistance, how do they contact Nechama, Mark McGilvery?
Correct. 313-444-0792. And then our website as well is a great portal for any interested volunteers or folks that would like to donate. And that's nechama.org, N-E-C-H-A-M-A.org.
And if a person wants to volunteer, that number there?
Correct.
What's the number for volunteering?
Oh, I'm sorry. It would be the same one that I listed earlier. We're just really trying to push volunteers towards our online portal. It's a much more efficient way of capturing interest. So that the website would be absolutely ideal for volunteer interest.
Okay, terrific. We want to wish you continued success and hope that you guys go out of business because of lack of need. That's always my blessing with such things like this. And thank you so much for taking out some of your time.
That would be great.
Thank you so much for taking
thank
up
you
your
so
critical
much.
Time. Okay, take care. We're going to have take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Herschel Vinman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Again, that number, if you want to get in touch with the people there at Nechama, is 313-444-0792. We have a breaking news that a Hamas rocket fired from Gaza slammed into a synagogue, and 30 people were injured, and there's no reports of any further casualties, so stay tuned, and we'll see what any more information we can get. Up next, music. We love to play music for you. We love when you listen to the music. This is an Israeli singing star Naftali Kalfa, together with the immortal Yossi Piamenta, Kilo Alechem Yichia, that people don't live by bread alone, but you need God in your life.
Thank you.
assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mycosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mycosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We always play an eclectic assortment of music. We try to mix it up, all kinds of different things. The group that we're playing next is called Burning Bush. This is a klezmer rendition of a Hasidic medleys.
Studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the Art Studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The Art Studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The Art Studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We got time for one more. This is a request coming from Yankel G. in Oak Park. Wanted to hear something Karlbach that didn't have any words to it. So we found the Niggun of Ruzhin for you. Listening in. Thank you so much, Yankel. This is for you. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurances accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herr Schulfenman, here you are listening to The Jewish Hour. The portion this week is the portion of Shoftim. It is found in chapter 16, verse 18 and following. There are a whole slew of commandments in the portion. There's no storyline. It's just Moshe's reviewing many commandments. The basic theme of the portion is compassion. Let's first define compassion. Compassion doesn't mean kindness. Kindness is, I'm going to give you whatever you want. That's not kindness because me being very relevant to myself, I might not be able to see the big picture and that what I want really might not be the best thing that I want, like especially if you're dealing with your children from the time that they're like 2 years old until the time that they're 120, that they want. And us parents, for example, we might know that that's not exactly the best thing for you to have and may decide, well, we're going to offer up something different. So kindness is not giving. Compassion is not giving. Compassion is giving what's appropriate. That's why the portion starts out with the commandment of appointing judges. Now, normally we associate judges, the word, one of the words for judges in Hebrew, it's not shoftim, that's one thing, but it's the word dayan. Dayan comes from the word din, meaning judgment, strict severity. But severity doesn't mean cruel. Severity means holding back. Severity means I'm not giving you. That's what severity means. So the shofet, this judge, is giving what these litigants require, what's appropriate to them. If it's a civil case, then the judge is deciding who gets what. This person gets this person, this person gets this thing. It's all decided. If it's a criminal case, so then the act of compassion is to mete out the punishments required to deal with someone who has committed that act, even to the point if it be a capital offense, for example. Because the most compassionate thing we can do to, say, a chainsaw massacrist is execute them. We should never do from such things. And it's the same thing as the portion goes along. Major part of the portion deals with preparing the Jewish people for war, all the different commandments that have to deal with going for war. One of my favorite commandments, I have never had the opportunity to do this commandment. I don't ever look for the opportunity to do this commandment, but it says quite clearly that a soldier, all of his implements and tools and in his pack, has to include a shovel. This is a commandment from God. A soldier, when he goes to war, has to have a shovel. For what reason? That he should be able to cover over what he just did when he went to the bathroom. Because you look through the annals of history, how many armies have been decimated because they were going to the bathroom in their drinking water? So like this, the Torah comes out way ahead and says, dig a hole, cover it over, get rid of this stuff. We don't want any diseases in our camps. We would like you to stay healthy and sound. War is dangerous enough without having to deal with various and sundry infectious diseases. So the way in which we're told to go to war is also a mode of compassion. It says, don't surround a city. Allow people to escape. Don't cut down all the trees because, listen, you're going to need food from the fruit trees. And you could cut down. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree at all. But if it's a non-fruit tree, a barren tree, you're going to need that wood for firewood too, for building things and these things. You can't go wantonly destroying things. Absolutely not. So even our approach for war is also an expression of compassion. Because why is it that the Jews go to war? They don't go to war, per se, just to be warlike and barbaric. There's only when there's a need. Like, for example, the conquest of Israel. The Jews were promised by the Almighty that the Holy Land would be theirs. There was an incident that happened this week in the Knesset, that one of the Arab members of Knesset stood up and said that we were here before you, and we will be here after you will be gone. And Netanyahu himself stood up, and he quieted the place down, and he said, I wasn't planning on speaking, but in reference to what this member of Knesset said, that he said that they were here before us, this is totally not true, it never was, and that they will be after we leave, this will never be. And he sat down, and that was it. And that's simply basically what it is, because the land of Israel, out of God's compassion, happens, it's called the land of Israel. So who does it belong to? It belongs to Israel. The word Palestine didn't come up until the Romans decided we're going to call it Palestine. And Palestinians weren't called Palestinians until 1967. So when it comes to taking care of our needs, so there's a compassionate way of doing it. We see. We had a month ago, we had the Consul General Carmeli from the State of Israel on the show. We're not barbaric. We're not going to carpet bomb Gaza. Israel has nuclear capabilities. They're not going to drop a nuclear bomb on Gaza City anytime in the near future, like never. And they're not even going to drop bunker buster bombs. Say that three times fast with your buggy baby bumpy bumpers. Because we have this compassion. But take out a leader, know exactly because of some phone call that somebody made, and have this idle chatter suddenly turn into something of significance, and we now know where the leader is and take him out, that's called compassion. Because he wants to take us out. Jews aren't into like lying down and letting themselves get killed. We're into the idea of taking care of what business demands to be taken care of. Now, let's turn this on a personal level. We've talked about this before. There's a war raging inside each and every single one of us. There's a classic insight into this week's portion that it says you should put judges at all of your gates. And the word "your" over there is singular. What does it mean, put judges at your gates? What are your gates, you, the listener of the Jewish Hour? Well, you have two eyes, two ears, and a mouth. And our eyes have lids, our mouths have lips. And if you happen to notice, the end of your fingers are rounded just right so that they can fit into your ears. So that if there's something that we don't want to look at, something that we don't want to say, and something we don't want to listen to, we have the ability of making that judgment call. Because the person who needs the most compassion is myself. I don't want to be subjected to all of that that's going out there. So you don't have to turn it on. I get calls every once in a while from the local cable company. Hello, we see that you're not signed up with us, and we'd like to interest you in this new package introductory deal, and yada, 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 all the wonderful things. I say, stop right there. We don't have a television. So one time it happened, when I said this, usually I say, okay, thank you, goodbye. The woman said, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, wait, in 1962, if you told somebody that you didn't have a television, it was because they couldn't afford a television. You would say, I'm sorry, you don't have a television. But in 2014, if a person says, I don't have a television, it's not because they can't afford it, because everybody can afford a television. If a person doesn't have a television, it's because they've made that conscious choice not to have a television. Because I don't want to subject myself to what's being hurled at me as from somebody else's decision, whether it be a television show, whether it be commercial, whether it even be the news. 3/4 of the news is not relevant to me. And the 1/4 of the news that is relevant to me, I somehow seem to find out about it. That's why the news that I chose to offer at the beginning of the show is news that I feel would be relevant to my listening audience. Because we do have the choice of how we're going to direct our compassion and how we're going to direct that war that ensues. Do I look? Do I not look? That's a war. We just have to be on top of it. We have to be compassionate in our approach, and we need to win the war. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard from the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Here you're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Best way? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com, RABBIFINMAN.com. I love hearing from you. I hear from people every single week. Most of my Sunday afternoon has always been, I'm here in the Detroit area 26 years, Sunday afternoon has always been downtime. That's when I basically address my mail. So if you listen to the show, you're listening on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, whatever, it's almost 12 o'clock now, and you have a question and you shoot it off to me right now, most likely this afternoon you'll get an answer. If it happens that you do it tomorrow, the day after, it may take a couple days before I get to it because other things are going on, but I do answer all my mail. I love getting fan mail. Whatever you have to say, whether it can be something you didn't like about the show, even better, because that makes the show a better show, easier to listen to, and more fun, and more educational. That's what we're here for. We also have archived editions of the radio show. We have archived editions of the U-Parsha, U-Story, Hasidic, the E-Parsha. All of these are insights into the portion of the week, Hasidic stories in various media other than this one, which you can peruse at your leisure. There's also, I teach classes, and some of those classes are posted on its own separate page, and the very special donations page. We're almost at the end of August, and I'm still handling, I'm almost have July. It's been a month. I know people are on vacation. Try to get a hold of somebody. You know, if it wouldn't have been for the flood, a lot of people would have just left town and never come back. And now we got the flood. I'm too busy to handle with you. I have to get this moldy stuff out of my basement. But the show must go on. Take a minute. Go to the computer. Hit the donations page. It's safe. It's PayPal. It's easy. It's effective. It works. We're coming up to Rosh Hashanah now. This is already, we have Rosh Chodesh Elul coming up this week. It's already time to start preparing for Rosh Hashanah. And one of the ways you have to prepare for Rosh Hashanah is to make sure that your 10% of your charity, your income, you're supposed to give 10% of your income to charity, because the Almighty gives you 110% of your income. And you have to give away the other 10%. And if you don't give away that 10%, God says, it's not yours anyway. I'm taking it away. So better you should direct where it goes. Don't like doing internet donations? Don't want to go to Rabbi Finman? Fine. Send your donation to The Jewish Hour. No, you don't have to do that part. The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And keep Detroit's only Jewish radio program now on air for 18 years. We're in our 19th year now on the air in perpetuity. Hasidic's story this week involves the Scalena Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer Zusha Portugal. We used to call him Portugal, but his name is not Portugal, it's Portugal. And he passed away in August of 1982. His yahrzeit was observed this last week. He was a very holy man. I actually met this person. He used to live in Crown Heights and moved away. It was very, very freaky. He had a house in Crown Heights. The week after he moved out of his house, the house spontaneously combusted and burnt down. Like, really, like, wow. Okay. Very holy dude. What happened? So he has a student whose name is Shlomo. Shlomo lives in Mexico City. Shlomo's a very wealthy businessman. Sometime in the afternoon, he gets a call, picks up the phone. He's expecting it to be a business associate. It's Rabbi Portugal, the Scalena Rebbe, his Rebbe. Rebbe! So he says to him, how are things, Shlomo? He says, Baruch Hashem, thank God, things are going well. The business is going good. He says, how's the family? He says, thank God, the family is going well. He says, what about Moshe, your bar mitzvah bacher? How's his learning? Is he learning properly in Mexico City? This is like, you know, even though it's a very large city, I wouldn't call Mexico City exactly a very Jewish city, but there are religious Jews and people do survive. He says he's learning quite well, and he's finishing up an entire tractate of the Talmud before his bar mitzvah. And the rabbi stopped him and said, did you give him a present for finishing? So he said, I hadn't thought about it. He said, promise him he can have a present, and he can pick out anything he wants. So he told the kid, okay, fine. Kid finished the Talmud. He picked out a present. What did he want? He wanted a double-strong chain with a double-strong padlock. Says, okay, if this is what you want. The kid was a little bit mischievous. So Mexico at that time was very much into kidnapping wealthy people, ransoming them, and sometimes never returning them. Moshe one day walked out of his house, and he was jumped, and he was beaten, and they were taken to the car. But Moshe had done a prank, the getaway car. Somehow he was able to get under it. He put the chain around the axle and he changed it to a pole. So the car couldn't go. So in the meantime, they're just like besides himself. Shlomo was able to run away, and the car was able to drive off with this chain dangling from its axle. The pole came down. But the police saw a car with a chain hanging from it. They arrested the people. So he said, why in the world would you do such a thing? He said, it was a prank. when this Moshe went to New York and talked to his Rebbe, so the rabbi heard all the details, and his only comment was, his gift was broken. Did you get him another one? That's going to do it. We're going to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a great week. And we hope to see you again and again next week. Take care.